I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This passage from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians contains a verse in it that really can be our sort of guide through our life's journey. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. This is wisdom of St. Paul, but also all of the saints, that they can do all things in Christ who strengthens them. In other words, the Apostle Paul and others have found the secret to be happy, to rejoice in life itself, even in difficult circumstances. They find that their happiness is not in having everything go their way, but it's in Christ. They can do all things in Christ who strengthens them. I once had a man tell me a lesson that he had learned from his father, and he said, quote, "It's a great life as long as you don't weaken. It's a great life as long as you don't weaken." And that means that we can see the goodness of life itself if we're strong. So we have to be strong. Now, every one of us will face some challenging situation in our life, some opposition, some failure, some trials, some unfairness or injustice. Well, the saints all experienced that as well. And they found a way to not only survive the struggles of life, but to thrive, to rejoice. And they found that in Christ. The secret to being able to see the goodness of life at all times is to live in Christ. This is something that really inspired me or impressed me about the person of Pope John Paul the Great. You know, if you look at his life story, he had experienced so much suffering in his life. As a young boy, he had tragedies in his family when his mom died, and later his older brother died, and then his country, Poland, that he loved very much, was invaded by the Nazis, and then later invaded by the communists who claimed they were liberating the Poles, but they weren't. It was just as bad or worse. And many of his friends and co-workers and, you know, all kinds of people he had known were tormented and killed. And he experienced so much evil and injustice in his life. He saw how unfair life can be to good people. And he should have emerged from that crucible of evil with a sense of anger and frustration, with a sense of bitterness, and he should have been a miserable man. But he didn't. He emerged from all of that as a man of true joy, as a beacon of hope which he shared with billions of people in his life as a priest and as pope. And what he did was he found his strength in Christ. That was his secret. And so that is the call for us. We have to be strong in the Lord Jesus. Now, oftentimes when we think of strength, a quality that we admire, we think of just physical strength. We think of a rough exterior or maybe bullying or someone who can talk very loud and push people around. But that's only exterior strength. What's most important is interior strength, spiritual strength. Think, for example, of a blade of grass outside. A blade of grass exteriorly seems very weak. It's nothing compared to like a mountain. But a blade of grass can endure so much. You know, a blade of grass has cars can drive over it and trucks can, and it can be poisoned by toxic chemicals and cut many times. Animals can chew at it. And it survives many, many years. It has an interior strength that is not visible immediately upon the outside. Well, this is a good analogy for us, that what we need to seek is interior strength of soul so that we can endure whatever hardships come our way, and not just endure them, but to rise above them. And we find this interior strength in Christ. Now, we really have to live in Christ in order to have this real spiritual strength. Some years ago, I said a mass for a football team in America known as the Houston Texans. And they were having a game against the New England Patriots, and I happened to be in the area where the Texans were staying at a hotel, and some of the leaders of the team had called us up and asked if they could have a mass for some of the players and the, you know, the members and staff of the team. And so I happened to be in the area, so I went to say mass. We made up a makeshift altar in the hotel in this big room, and we had mass. There were about 10 players from the Houston Texans there, and when I was saying the mass, not only for the players, but for some of the staff of the team, altogether probably about 30 or 40 people there, when I was giving out communion to the football players, I couldn't tell how long the line was of people coming to Holy Communion, because the players were so big. I was like giving out communion, reaching way up here and trying to reach the players, and they were so big I couldn't see around them. But I gave them an interesting lesson in my sermon. I compared football to the spiritual life. And I remember one of the lines I said was that in football, you have to hit your opponent harder than they can hit you. And my lesson was that in the spiritual life, we have to be strong. We have to always work for to be stronger and stronger all the time. Well, I think one of the Texans may have taken me a bit too literally. And that weekend in the game against the Patriots, a Texan had tackled the Patriots so hard that the poor Patriot had to be taken out on a stretcher. And I remember watching the news about it, and I was like, uh-oh, did I cause that? But my point was not that. My point was interior strength, which is what we need, which is what we admire when we see people who have gone through all kinds of suffering and emerged happy at life, someone like Pope John Paul II. How do we live in Christ? Because that's the key. It's not enough to know Christ and to talk about Him. We have to be in Him. We have to live in Christ. Well, there are four big ways that we need to work at in our life to make sure that we are in Christ so that we can have His strength. The first way is faith. You have to have faith. You have to believe in what we say in the creed when we profess our belief in the Most Holy Trinity, in the divinity of Christ who was born of the Virgin Mary, and in His life of suffering, death, and resurrection, and His coming again in glory in judgment. This is the fullness of reality. What we believe about the Most Holy Trinity is reality. I think what can happen to us when we suffer, when we have some unfair situation, some tragedy or sadness, we feel that this suffering, this evil, this darkness is the fullness of reality. And therefore life is no good, and we have to try to escape from it somehow. But that's not accurate. The fullness of reality is not your pain and suffering. The fullness of reality is the Most Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Lord, Our Lady, the saints and the angels, redemption. That's the fullness of reality. The big thing in your life right now is redemption in Christ, is the communion of the Most Holy Trinity, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we got to have faith, and we have to know our faith. Then the next thing we need is we need to have a sacramental rhythm of life. The sacraments, which begin with baptism, the Eucharist, and confession. We need these living encounters with Christ, because He is our strength. If we don't have Christ in our life, we can't be strong in Him. We really need this living encounter with Christ. The sacraments contain immense power from the Lord, but it's a power that's quiet. But we need this power in our life. And then the third thing we need is morality. We got to have a moral code in our life that guides us and that we're faithful to. The Ten Commandments. You got to know the Ten Commandments and live them and know the teachings of Christ and His church on morality. In other words, each of us have to turn away from our own sins. I think in morality, we often talk about how they have to turn away from their sins. Now, that person over there needs to hear this great sermon about morality, and this person over there needs to know the commandments. But we have to look within. We have to live the commandments. We have to live this moral code. If we don't, if we allow some sin, and it could be any sin, take over our life if we give it free rein in our life, then that sin causes us to become interiorly very weak within. Think of the story of King Solomon in the Old Testament. He had everything, and he was close to God, and he loved God, and he was a great political leader. He was very wealthy, and he was loved by many of his subjects. But at some point, he got too arrogant, and he turned to sin. He turned away from God, and he turned to all kinds of sin, especially to impurity, and everything fell apart for him. His political career ended up in shambles, and he ended up poor. I remember a saying that someone once said. They said, "You are only as strong as your secrets. You are only as strong as your secrets." In other words, if on the outside we're very strong, but within we are far from the Lord because of some sin that we've allowed to take over our lives, we're really weak, very, very weak, the weakest of the weak. So we need to follow the moral teaching of Christ and the Ten Commandments. In this way, we come to a greater inner strength. We protect that inner strength. And finally, prayer. We have to be, as Christians, experts in prayer. You know, people of other religions cannot be smarter than us about prayer. We have to be the smart ones about prayer. Prayer needs to be part of our lives, because prayer is the ordinary means by which God gives many graces to our souls. Prayer sometimes becomes the last thing we think of. We say, "Let me solve my problems first, and then I'll take time to pray. That's backwards, totally backwards. We need to pray. Prayer moves us into a deeper relationship to God, and also with all those who pray to God, the communion of saints. In this regard, I want to encourage you to pray the rosary. The rosary is a powerful prayer that the whole church has recommended for many generations. And the prayer of the rosary has two big parts to it. One part is the outside of the rosary, or the exterior, and that is the prayers that we hear, the Our Father and the Hail Mary. And then the interior part of the rosary, or the soul of the rosary, is the meditation on the mysteries of the life of Christ and Our Lady. This is a very powerful prayer. Prayer is very necessary. You can pray the Liturgy of the Hours, a divine office, or get some books that help you to pray each day. Prayer is necessary and a source of great strength for us. Sometimes in life we can feel overwhelmed by our responsibilities, by the sufferings we have endured and the unfairness of life. We can feel defeated and crushed by what's going on maybe within and around us. And we're tempted to respond to this sense of being overwhelmed with giving up on God and giving in to despair. And people do this all the time, and it's tragic. They turn to drugs and alcohol and impurity and unchastity, about promiscuity, and people turn to anger and violence in order to try to escape from this sense of being overwhelmed by life. That's not the answer. The answer is very, very simple. When we're overwhelmed, maybe you're overwhelmed and crushed right now, your response to that is to enter into Christ, to enter more deeply into the mystery of the Lord Jesus, who is risen from the dead, and go back to these four things: faith, the sacraments, morality, and prayer. When you have this sense of life overtaking you and you no longer feel happy with the gift of life, which is the first gift God gives to us, then commit yourselves more seriously to these things. Respond to the trials and difficulties of life with more faith, with frequent recourse to the sacraments, to a more strong commitment to a moral life, and to more daily prayer. In this way, you become more in Christ. You take all of your situations and trials and you bring them into Christ, who conquered it all in the resurrection. In this way, as we renew our devotion to living in Christ, we can become more and more strong in the Lord Jesus. And we become strong not only for ourselves, but for the many, many people who right now are depending upon you to be strong in the Lord. God bless you.